This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. And for our next story, we're talking about TikTok, which if you're not on it, I think you would at least have seen some of it. And interestingly, it has become kind of a source of news and activism, even among youths in the United States, which is kind of odd considering the format of it.
But, yes.
yeah, but we wanted to talk about that, particularly in terms of how it's appealing to the younger folk.
Yeah, so earlier this year, TikTok appointed a safety advisory council in the in Asia Pacific to advise the company on issues surrounding online trust and child safety.
Yeah, I think it's good to start early, considering the boost of popularity it has. And the council consists of several activists and academics who are experts in minor protection, mental health, cyber wellness. The council was also tasked to give recommendations on how TikTok should moderate content on their platform.
Yeah, and they started this month, actually, by helping to outline TikTok's guidelines to address issues, specifically bullying, sexual harassment, cyberstalking, and even acts of self-harm.
Right. And this should enable the platform to limit, label, remove content that could harm the youth, you know, videos that depict dangerous acts, incite violence, or encourage eating disorders. So we wanted to find out more about this. On the line with us, we have two guests. We have Dr. Yuhyun Park, who is the founder of DQ Institute and a member of the Safety Advisory Council formed by TikTok in Asia Pacific. Our other guest is Arjun Narayan, who is the TikTok Director of Trust and Safety for APAC. Arjun, Dr. Park, thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Park, let's start with you. So could you tell us more about digital intelligence and the skills that children require for that?
Yes, I am representing the DQ Institute. So DQ stands for the Digital Intelligence. Digital intelligence is a comprehensive set of digital skills and digital literacy that requires any individuals to thrive in the digital age. So this framework has been endorsed by the Coalition for Digital Intelligence, including OECD, World Economic Forum, and now officially approved as the IEEE Standard Association's standard for digital literacy, digital skills, and digital readiness. So we picked 8 digital citizenship competency that includes digital citizen identity, screen time management, cyberbullying management, cybersecurity management, digital empathy, digital footprint management, and critical thinking and privacy management. So these are the 8 skills that we emphasize that all children must have before they become active in a digital media and technology. So I usually use as a kind of analogy. So before you drive, you know how to drive, just like that. You know, before you own your device and you actively engage in social media and digital media, we want children to have this digital life skill, which is DQ, digital citizenship skill.
And Arjun, could you tell us why the Safety Advisory Council was formed in the first place and what it sets out to do?
Sure. So at TikTok, we're constantly finding ways to create a positive and safe online environment for our users. And you know, that being the mission, the Asia Pacific Safety Advisory Council was formed to formally bring together a group of independent online safety experts. And the basic idea is that this group will advise TikTok on issues related to trust and safety, content moderation policies and practices. I mean, the council it includes people like Dr. Park, who are leading luminaries, thought leaders, and the main focus is in developing forward-looking policies that not only address challenges of today, but also plan ahead for the next set of issues that the industry will face. So yeah, that's basically the goal of the council. We have experts, in addition to Dr. Park, we have experts from Pakistan, India, Vietnam, South Korea, Indonesia. So we have a diverse group of industry experts, as well as people who understand the different cultures in Asia.
Right. Now, are there specific areas where TikTok is aiming to address and to improve on?
Yeah. So I just want to take a step back and basically say, you know, I want to start with saying TikTok is basically committed to our creators and our users, right? We're a platform for authentic expression, unlike any other. And we have millions of users across the world that use the app on a daily basis. They use it to be their authentic selves, to share their passions, talent, and viewpoints. Now, for creativity to thrive, you need to create a safe and positive environment. And so to that extent, our main focus is to create an environment where our users, our creators, feel safe, feel creative, and feel like they belong in the community. Just generally, again, speaking to some of the issue areas we're focused on, child safety is a top priority for us. Bullying, cyberbullying, like Dr. Park mentioned, is another area which is a big focus area for us. In fact, we've also done a lot of partnerships with safety organizations and NGOs in Malaysia to that effect. So yeah, child safety, cyberbullying, making sure that information is authentic. So making sure there's no misinformation, disinformation being transmitted on the platform. Those would be, generally speaking, the top focus areas for us.
Right. And Dr. Park, you're a parent yourself. What's your own experience been like when it comes to observing your children's digital habits?
You're asking me a very difficult question. If you're asking me as a parent, you know, I am not very different from any other parents. I think, you know, all working mom and parents are struggling when it comes to the technology and parenting. I want to start with the general, actually, parenting, because I think it's that will resonate more with your audiences. A lot of times, parents feel like they feel powerless when it comes to technology use, and they think their kids know better than themselves. So they sometimes just feel distant when it comes to the technology parenting. But my advice to the parents is that you don't need to be expert in technology. You just need to be parent. So there's a very simple parenting tip. Starting with that, you know, it is important to have a media rule in their house, and they have to understand so what are the things they do and don't with their children when it comes to mobile use and social media use. If you're asking me as a parent, what I do is that we have several rules, a house rule, and my kids don't get their smartphone until their DQ score is over 115. So it doesn't mean that when they have a high DQ score, that doesn't mean they're super smart or they're risk-free. Rather, you know, they know basic minimum digital citizenship skills so that they understand how to minimize the risk and maximize their potential in the technology.
Let's take a look at, you know, trust and communication. Tell us more about the importance of these two traits between parents and their children.
There are a lot of literature review that shows that even just parents have the simple rules, like about the amount of time that children can spend. I think it depends on the age group also. And if it is a teenager, it's a different actually story. When it comes to young children, it has a better, actually, the parents have a better grips in a way. So number one, they want to have the basic parents' role. And, you know, when they can use the device and when they cannot use the device, what kind of content they have they can access, what are the blacklist. So it starts with a very simple thing. What I usually advise is that it is better to build a trust between children and parents rather than they put the filtering devices or they become like they try to understand everything that children are doing online. So building the trust. So when there is a problem in digital space, parents are the first people that children seek out and get the help. I think that is the number two rule. So number one, general, the family rule. Number two, building the trust and having the conversation from starting from young.
And Arjun, if I could turn to you for a second, one big concern that parents have online is the presence of sexual predators. How does TikTok deal with this?
I think, so first things first, we take the responsibility to our users very seriously. And it's extremely important to acknowledge that, you know, there are vulnerable users on the platform. That's the first step. And obviously the second step is, you know, how do you find ways to mitigate that risk? From a TikTok perspective, we really take a three-pronged approach. One is making sure we're investing in moderation processes and AI infrastructure that is able to detect behavioral signals and is also able to identify any early signs of predatory behavior on the platform. Then there is a second step to it, which is also providing controls to parents and raising awareness and training parents or guardians to provide them enough controls to control the level of exposure you want to have with content on the platform. And again, we don't want to be deciding that for our users. The basic philosophy is users need to decide what is their comfort level with the platform, because tastes are different, tolerances are different. And then the last step, of course, is how do we raise general awareness? Like Dr. Park mentioned, our basic goal is it just can't be solved by TikTok alone. I mean, pedophilia, general lack of online risk awareness. It's an industry problem, and the lines are blurring between online and offline world. So from our perspective, the last point I wanted to make was we need to take a long-term approach and a holistic approach with online and offline elements. The offline approach would be on-the-ground outreach initiatives at schools to inculcate positive behaviors, providing fresh new learning materials to youth, whereas online includes, you know, things like how do you use restricted mode? How do you use features like family pairing? How do you use your privacy controls? So I think it's online and offline education and awareness combined with proactive detection and investment in moderation practices that kind of goes a long way into making the platform safe and secure.
Right then, and looking ahead, what are the next steps for the Safety Advisory Council?
Yeah, sure. So the council will basically convene on a quarterly basis, and the main focus will be to discuss key issues, like I mentioned, online safety, child safety, mental health, human rights, and the idea is that the council is going to be providing us with rich feedback and perspectives that we will take back to our product development teams, that we'll take back to our user experience teams, and use that as a way to improve and amplify our user experience, make it a safer environment. We also, more long-term, want to publish some of these findings in public interest. So obviously you will see some of this come out in the press. You know, we're going to put this out in blog posts. But just in terms of the cadence, we're going to be working with the Safety Advisory Council to inform and improve our policies, our content moderation practices. And you will see some of these changes in the UI. You'll see some of these changes in the features that we roll out in the coming months.
Arjun, Dr. Park, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Arjun Narayan, TikTok Director of Trust and Safety for Asia Pacific, and Dr. Yuhyun Park, who is the founder of DQ Institute and a member also of the Safety Advisory Council for TikTok in Asia Pacific. Are you on TikTok? What do you like about it? What do you not? Are your children on TikTok? Let us know by WhatsApping 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.